Okay, I'm joined by Matt Power of Liberty News TV. Matt, say hello.
Hi, everybody.
So, we're just hanging out in L.A., and where am I speaking to you from?
And you are speaking to me in Portland, Maine, in the rainy, drizzly, cold state of Maine.
Actually, it's been raining here all day.
Has it?
Yeah, so much for sunny L.A.
Yeah, I know.
I hate it when it rains here because I've always had this attitude that, you know, I pay California state taxes. It should be sunny 72.
You pay good money for that weather.
Exactly. So people who listen to the Kill Radio Tuesday News have probably heard of Liberty News TV because I like to play clips from it sometimes on,
yep,
on the show. But maybe they don't know about it, so that's why I'm calling you.
Okay.
You are... And if we're an internet radio station, you're an internet television station.
Right. Well, we're an actual TV show.
Well, that's true, because you're available on satellite.
Yeah, because we're on Free Speech TV, and we're also on about 50 public access TV channels. So we actually get into 25 million homes. You know, technically, we don't have 25 million viewers, but we're
right.
available in 25 million homes. And that's, like, our big challenge right now is actually to get progressives and people who are sort of like-minded to even watch the show. Because one thing we found is progressives have thrown out their TVs.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and then you have the group who are like, probably a lot of your listeners who are internet savvy, who are, you know, one of our core groups, too. But what we're trying to do is actually sort of reach out to people who are sort of politically apathetic. And that's actually our target audience is really the apathetic voter, you know, who has kind of given up on politics. I mean,
right. So not so much the hardcore political activists who may already be well informed.
Right. Well, like politically, I'm sure everybody out there knows what Democracy Now, you know, Amy Goodman's show.
Right.
And we've actually positioned ourselves between Amy Goodman's show and and Jon Stewart's show, like in that huge void in between those shows. We see ourselves as more accessible to people who aren't sort of what I'd call the traditional leftist intellectuals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we're trying to do is really give people we're trying to correct misinformation as opposed to just giving them information. Maybe I should back up a little bit and tell people, in case they've never heard of Liberty News TV.
Yes.
Is basically, we're a half-hour monthly TV show and in internet. You know, we stream online. And we cover, you know, we call ourselves a progressive news TV show, although we don't really consider ourselves to be a slanted show. We just consider ourselves to be telling the truth, essentially. And, you know,
right, which in this day and age is considered to be a... you know, propagandists.
Right. We're right. It's very scary, and it's, I always use the metaphor that if you've been drinking vinegar for 10 years, and somebody hands you a glass of clean, pure water, it tastes funny. And that's the metaphor that I always use. And so when somebody says, "Well, you're biased," I say, "Well, no, you've just been drinking vinegar for so long that you don't recognize water."
Wow. And it's true. I mean, because there are people who watch Fox News and really buy the fair and balanced line and really believe that those are the facts, that what you would see on Liberty News TV and to some extent The Daily Show, which
yep.
some people don't even understand is comedy.
Right.
They would say that that's, you know, liberal leftist propaganda.
Exactly. And one of the things actually that's really rewarding for me about the show is the letters. Most of the letters that I get, and I get a lot of letters, are from libertarians and, mm-hmm. You know, disgruntled ex-Republicans and independents and small farmers out in the Midwest. And they're people, you know, disabled people. And they're these desperate, grateful letters that we get saying, you know, I thought sort of the old-school progressive democratic view of the world was dead. And,
right.
And that's kind of really what we are. Is we don't really consider ourselves leftists, per se. We consider ourselves... If we were to align ourselves politically with, you know, sort of our view of the world, I'd say we're more along the lines of sort of FDR populist Democrats.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're really about, you know, a fair wage and, you know, health care for everyone. And, you know, a lot of those sort of what I call, even though we're also progressive on a lot of issues, like, you know, a lot of us are vegetarian and that kind of thing. But we're also in line, I think, with a lot of those old school, you know, progressive democratic values.
Well, yeah, and in this day and age, if you really care at all about things like civil rights,
right,
it immediately puts you up as the other, you know, as being against the establishment, as, you know, which
exactly
is kind of un-American when you think about it, you know.
Right, and one of the things that you'll notice, like, if you watch, and I know you watch our show, is we don't cover things like abortion and cultural issues too much.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I think it's not that we don't care about those issues, but I think what's happened is those issues have come to the front and center of every political discussion, and they're issues that, in a lot of ways, progressives, they're such complicated issues that progressives really can't win on those.
Right. Well, they're designed to divide the people.
Right. They're wedges, essentially.
Right.
And we actually, one of the things that's interesting is we actually rub some progressives the wrong way, our approach to things, because, for instance, you might have seen the piece that we did where we used the stuff. We actually had one of our commentators dressed up as a Jedi, you know, running around with a lightsaber, chopping, you know, the Fox News station in half. And we do some things that are sort of mainstream, and we get accused of dualism, you know, where you sort of say it's an us and them, and where we divide things up into sort of black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of defend that because I say, look, we all would love a world where we could move beyond dualism. But the problem is the people that we're trying to reach are not ready to move. I don't think they're really ready to move there yet.
Right.
So we're trying to reach them with comedy and with things with, like, using archetypes. Like, you know, everybody out there has seen Star Wars. So what we do is we use those archetypes of Star Wars, and we connect the dots for people using familiar images and stuff.
Sure.
That's kind of our strategy, I guess.
Well, Matt, tell me, how did you go from, you know, just being a guy more or less concerned, like myself, you know, with one eyebrow permanently raised through the state of affairs of the world today, to having your own television program and studio?
Well, I was a journalist. I actually have a master's degree in journalism, mm-hmm. and I worked in trade journalism for years, for, you know, about, I guess, 10 or 12 years. And I've heard this from a lot of journalists, is what happens is, if you've ever seen the movie Network?
Sure.
And the guy, you know, the guy that goes crazy and he starts to tell the truth?
Right.
And that's really the truth about journalism, is that basically what you do is you lie and you obfuscate and you are forced to never quite tell the truth, to be a modern journalist, to survive. There's things that you leave out of stories. There's half-truths that you tell. And I got to the point where it was getting very frustrating.
Sure.
And I had some skills. You know, I had done some filmmaking and stuff, too. And so I understood the sort of video production process. And I said, you know what, we could just do this. We could just start. And I think the other thing that happened is after the election, after the last election, and we realized that where everybody got their news was places like Fox News. And we'd sit there, and we'd pound our fists on the table, and we'd say, wait a minute, they only told half the story, or they left out the most important ingredient of the story.
Right.
And, you know, I think outrage sometimes is the fuel for activists.
Sure.
And that was, for us, it was outrage was the fuel. And I also happen to have a lot of talented people around me, you know, actors, you know, videographers, people who could kind of do this kind of in their spare time.
Well, so tell me a little bit about your team.
Well, basically, you know, we all have a theater background, and most of us have worked together on sort of movie making projects. You know, we did a movie called The Nine, which was a political satire, which you can actually watch. It's sort of a Lord of the Rings theme. Again, we used the metaphor Lord of the Rings, and so a lot of us had already worked together. There's about five of us who work on the show,
mm-hmm.
and we're all pretty much part-time. Like, the funny thing is, I always laugh because we get these letters all the time to our site, sort of what we call our hate mail section, which is, and it always says, this must be a George Soros operation. You know, they always think that we have big money behind us.
Right. Well, and, I mean, just, you know, I can tell you, just looking at it right now, I mean, it does have a certain quality that you know, I've grown not to expect from things sort of that come out of the progressive movement.
Yeah. And that's actually what we decided early on. And, you know, some progressives don't like that, to be honest. We actually get some flack for that because they say, oh, you've sold out.
Like, you know, it looks too corporate.
You've gone the corporate pretty look. And I said, well, our goal is, like, we have to get eyes on the show.
Right.
My bottom line on that is whatever it takes to get eyes. In fact, I'm upgrading right now to an even better camera system and stuff. And we're actually going into debt to do it because I think we have to look as good as the Situation Room. You know, the Wolf Blitzer thing?
Yeah.
That's my goal. I want to look like the Situation Room so that when somebody in Kansas flips on their TV, and our show is on, I want the trickle effect so that, you know, some grandmother flicks it on and leaves it on, and I don't expect them to watch the whole show, but maybe they hear one show, and, you know, they hear about how much aid we're really giving to, you know, in tsunami relief as opposed to what the corporate media is telling us.
Right, and they don't know that they're listening to Liberty or watching Liberty News TV. They just think the TV is on. So,
right, and it's not
look
that we're
like
trying
the
to
news.
Trick them. What we're trying to do is get the truth. We're trying to trickle the truth out to them.
Right, because CNN is never going to give out those numbers.
No, they're not. And they're going to ignore that side of the story because what they do is they tell 80% of the time they tell the administration's. They just repeat what the administration is saying.
Right.
And any government always has its own best interest in mind. And, you know, but where did I see the other day? It might have been in a movie or something. Somebody said the government should be afraid of the people, not the people afraid of the government.
Right. That's from Vendetta. Yeah,
which I enjoyed that movie. But, you know, so...
Well, who are the... we're talking about what people see... the face that we see the most of.
Yep.
Tell me about your lead anchor,
Liz Chambers. Yeah, and Liz is a local, really accomplished theatrical actress, performer, and activist. Although she's only recently really gotten into politics.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even when we started the show, she was, like a lot of sort of 20-somethings. She was not that connected politically, but. As we've gone along and she's done the show more, she actually sends me leads on stories now, and she's actually starting to get sort of her own fan base of people who write her letters, and I think she does a nice job of, you know, responding intelligently to them and being, you know, she's now sort of really part of the team.
Now, it's interesting when, let's say you're not politically involved and
yep.
then someone gives you a little piece of truth
yep.
and then you pass that truth on to somebody else, it sort of inspires a desire to back it up with more information.
Exactly, and it's kind of like that, it's that whole idea of getting people interested. It's sort of like, you know, the same reason you teach a kid to, you try to get them books that they like.
Right.
You know, once they learn that reading books is cool and... You know, that it can be a fun experience, they're going to read for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, we see ourselves kind of as a catalyst for people to go, well, I mean, when people watch the show, I want their jaws to drop, you know, and sometimes we go a little over the top on purpose, you know, where we'll have, like I often tell Liz, I say, I don't want her to be neutral, entirely neutral.
Mm-hmm.
I want her to slightly editorialize.
Well, and everybody does that too. I
yep.
mean, it's like you can't say things that are so powerful and so meaningful and not give just that little bit of a wink to the audience that
right.
you know how much it means.
Right, and also, you know, when you're talking about people, you know, being slaughtered in Iraq, that should be an emotional issue, you know. And when an announcer announces that, you know, somebody has just, you know, 20 people have just been killed, you know, by an accidental bombing or whatever it is. You know, that's 20 people that were killed in an act of violence which probably should never have happened, you know.
Right, but we're so used to seeing it done with a smile and then going to the sports right,
then you
right
cut
after
to the
that,
commercial.
You know. Yeah.
Right, and we have that advantage. We have, I mean, see, the other thing is that Noam Chomsky came up here the other day, and I was kind of inspired by him because, you know, he said, like he says, we have a tremendous amount of power right now. I'm not talking about our station, I'm talking about, you know, people in general in this country. You know, a lot of people say, well, we're on the edge of dictatorship, and I actually believe that that is true, although I think the risk is receding a little bit right now.
Mm-hmm.
But all it takes is if everyone out there who is upset and concerned did something, and this is, I'm just sort of paraphrasing Chomsky, you know, if you think about how many people you know do nothing except complain, you know, probably 5% of the population does anything active, even the minimal thing like writing a letter to your editor of your newspaper.
Well, if you go out and vote once every 4 years, I mean, you consider yourself politically active in this country.
Right. Only, I mean, the last vote I just was reading today was 17% of the voters voted Republican, and 16%, if you believe the, you know, the exit polls, voted Democrat, of all the eligible voters.
Right.
So 79 million eligible voters didn't vote in the last election. And what was it like in Ohio? I can't remember how many votes, but it was a narrow margin in Ohio.
Yeah.
But you think about how little it would take to turn things around.
I mean, in Ohio, everybody could vote for the Democrats, and the Republicans would still win.
Right. There is
Ohio's a different situation.
There is that issue, the Diebold issue, and you know, and that's a huge issue. And I think, you know, I think this 2006 election is. Really, if it doesn't shake out here, we're in big trouble.
Yeah,
I think that is a big concern, and it's not something that should just sort of be poo-pooed off. I mean, that's a real concern.
Who is Kevin Quinn?
Kevin Quinn is his stage name. His real name is Kevin Patrick Quinn, and he's another very experienced actor, activist, friend of mine who is he's been a stage performer, trained, he's a well-trained actor, singer, dancer. He's been an activist, for years. He was active, many years ago, even during the Reagan administration. He's older than he looks. But, so he's a good guy. And he's actually going to be out in Las Vegas for the next 6 months, so we're actually pre-shooting some of his segments right now.
I see. And he does the editorial segments on your show, not the straight-up news segments. So,
right.
Tell me a little bit about your approach to that, because there's a lot of humor involved, there's skits.
Right. Well, one of the things that we use as a guide for that, there's an article by James Kroger called Republican Nemesis, and one of the things he said in this article is that one of the things that was so effective for Reagan and has been so effective for the right wing is to ridicule your opponents to the point where their ideas are so out of touch with the mainstream that they're laughable.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of sort of where we begin when we write one of these, which is, we did a thing on gay marriage, for example, where we actually broke down the facts about gay marriage and how it really affects people, and it actually fiscally, it's actually more responsible because gay couples tend to stay together well, they tend to make a lot of money.
Yeah, no, I was under the impression the Republicans were promoting gay promiscuity. I thought that's what it was all about.
Right. I mean, that's sort of what it comes down to. So we use a lot of humor in there, and we actually, and there's a lot of, we try to go deep into research.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of just, one thing that's different about our editorials is our editorials are probably the most researched part of the whole show.
Uh-huh.
Because we go many layers in so that the argument is airtight, whatever the editorial point. It's not just an emotional argument.
Mm-hmm.
We just, I don't know if you saw our latest one on book burning.
Yes, I have actually.
We went to a professor of history at Bowdoin College because we didn't feel like we had the credibility to talk about, Marx and Comte and all these, sort of dead white European authors. And we wanted to know, we wanted somebody who really was steeped in that kind of information.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that gave the, our argument about censorship and stuff a lot more power by using, real sources.
Now, only doing one segment a month, how do you decide, how do you choose your news and how do you sort of let go that's all the news you're going to do for this month?
But to be honest, it's kind of painful because there's so much news to cover, and that's one thing about this administration is the bad news and the
never
the
dull moment
diplomacy and the sort of the hypocrisy is so intense and so I guess it's a shotgun of hypocrisy, no pun intended, to Mr. Cheney. But you never run out of topics, and so it really comes down to it. The winnowing process is one of the most difficult things.
Mm-hmm.
Is what do you pick and what do you toss out? I think what we try to do is say, okay, what's the issue that is most critical right now, like privacy? And we try to sort of stack up the issues. Like, if nothing is done about this particular issue within the next few months, it's going to get worse. So we, for instance, the Christian right, we had actually been talking about that for 6 months, and then we dedicated a whole show to it. Because as we dug into it, we discovered that it was way worse than we ever imagined.
Yeah, no, it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, and we're also trying to do some sort of field trips. Like, I went down to the Holy Land Experience theme park. I don't know if you saw that particular
show.
Yes,
that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, in Orlando. And it's like people, I have gotten a lot of letters from Christians all over the country who are, writing to me saying, thank you for doing that piece, because we don't agree with those far-right radical ideas.
Well, and it's such a bizarre commercialism of philosophy and religion.
Right, right. And we try to, we also try not to tread on anybody's, individual beliefs. That's sort of, that's sort of that old-school populist democratic thing again. We don't, we don't preach diversity, but we also try not to, ever be harshly critical of somebody's religion or anything like that. But we also don't do the leftist thing of trying to make it a big issue.
Right. And now, how did you go from just being Matt Power with a little TV studio in his basement to actually being on television?
It's surprisingly easy, but there's a lot of tricks involved to it, which is, you hear a lot about the digital revolution. Mm-hmm. You always hear people saying, "Oh, anybody can make a show in their basement and that kind of thing." But what really happens is the technology is out there. But I spent about 2 years wasting my life away reading manuals. If you looked at my shelf, I literally must have about 25 or 30. Just the most boring technical manuals you've ever seen in your life.
Uh-huh.
But they tell you how to do. They tell you how to do anything. Like, we can do anything Hollywood can do. It might look a little cheesier, and it might look, that works for comedy. But we have the technology and the know-how. It's just a matter of, do we have the time and do we have enough of a budget to sort of pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
But having that capability allows you to compete in a way. See, one of the big advantages we have over somebody like Bill O'Reilly or Mark Hyman, the guy from Sinclair Broadcasting, is we actually have talent. When I say we, I'm talking about Kevin primarily. But, we actually have people who can be funny and, can turn a phrase and can come up with an amusing...
Shut up. I'm kidding.
Metaphor or something.
Yeah.
And that is a weapon.
Yeah. No, you can't just, that Bill O'Reilly. Well, speaking of people who don't believe in free speech, what about people who don't believe in Liberty News TV? Have you received any sort of intimidation letters from the powers that be and things like that?
Well, it's interesting. We have not received intimidation letters from, the government and that sort of thing, although we know that we can monitor through the website that they do watch the show.
Uh-huh.
I think we're still pretty small potatoes as far as they're concerned. Who knows? We assume that they're probably, watching our emails and that sort of thing, but we don't make a big issue about it. We try to be pretty upfront about everything we do. And
mm-hmm. Well, I know they listen to my show.
Oh yeah, I'm sure, and I'm sure they listen to Democracy Now! and all that stuff. I mean, we're under no illusion that they wouldn't. But on the other hand, people say, "Aren't you scared doing this show?" And I say, "Well, somebody has to do this stuff
mm-hmm.
because if we all, I really believe the FDR thing is that fear itself is what we have to be afraid of, and the moment that we get afraid and we shut down and we hunker down in our houses, there'll be, armored vehicles rolling through the streets."
Yeah, and the Fox Mafia, they're really the fear merchants in the first place. I mean, corporate media at the moment is based entirely on fear. News isn't information, it's how can we scare people into...
But what else is interesting, to add on to that comment, which is absolutely right, is that manufacturing, all the new products are all fear-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look around at the stuff that's being sold now, it's security systems, it's ID chips, it's biotechnology that identifies people. It's the technology of fear is sort of what the new economy is starting to shape up like.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to make us afraid of everything because they think that's the same way they told us that glitzy toothbrushes would make our teeth whiter.
Right.
Now they're telling us that, you know, these fancy cell phones with the alarms in them or whatever will make us safer.
Right. And, of course, they're probably giving us brain cancer.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I actually don't own a cell phone.
But that's okay because the terror level is, what, like plaid now? So we're probably okay.
Well, the good thing is, the positive thing is, I think, and the more I talk to people around the country, is that I still believe there's a progressive majority out there. They're just apathetic. A lot of them don't vote. But if
right.
you actually had a vote where every person in the country turned out for a vote, the progressive candidate would win by a landslide.
Yeah, you know, I remember, not to get too sidetracked, but I remember in 2000 when a lot of people were upset with Ralph Nader, saying that all the people who voted for him would have voted for Gore if he wasn't, you know, a choice, and then Gore would have won.
Yeah.
And the thing I keep coming back to on that issue is I just don't believe that to be the case. I think that the people who voted for Nader, if Nader wasn't running, they just wouldn't have voted.
110,000, I think it was, don't quote me on the number, but it was around 110,000 Democrats in Florida voted Republican in the 2000 election. The Democrat turncoats in Florida turned the election.
Wow.
And I do believe that particular election was stolen. I mean, there's a lot of evidence for it now.
Yeah, well, when Catherine Harris, you know, buys felony purge lists that are later revealed to be 95% inaccurate.
Right, right.
And 55,000 people aren't able to vote.
There's a mountain of evidence.
Yeah.
I think the New York Times even came out with an inside story at some point, you know, basically saying that. But it was at that point nobody was going to act on it. But, you know, I actually voted for Nader in 2000, got a lot of flack for it, and I said, you know what, it wasn't the so-called Nader traitors that did in Gore. I actually liked Gore, but it was the Democrats.
Wow. So
the turncoats that actually killed that particular election.
How far do you think you can go with Liberty News TV? Like, where do you see it sort of settling? Do you see it on cable? Do you see it on...
I see if public access lasts, you know, public access TV is under attack right now.
Mm-hmm.
If public access holds out there, I expect we'll be on somewhere near the, you know, Amy Goodman's on about 300 channels now.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say within a couple years, we'll probably be somewhere near that.
What is this thing I see on your website right now? It says Democratic Media Award 2006.
Yeah, there's it's a website that gives out awards to sort of indie media groups that are sort of doing good work, and we've only been around for 15 shows, but we've won it twice.
Wow.
So that's good. You know, we're writing grants, and we're trying to raise money like every, you know, progressive organization out there. But
Speaking of raising money, how can people help support Liberty News TV?
We actually take donations. We've filed for a 501c3 status, but we haven't been approved yet, so at least for the moment, you can't write it off, although that may change any day now, we hope.
Mm.
But they can donate on our website, you know, a dollar. You know, any amount is, no amount is too small. We actually are set up with a PayPal button at libertynewstv.com where they can, you know, anybody can donate. And I'll be totally honest about what our budget is. We have one business sponsor who I have to praise mightily, it's Olive Films. And I think they just moved to Illinois, but it's a small independent film distributor, and they give us $500 a month.
Wow.
And this guy called me, the guy who runs the company, two or three shows into our show, and we were going to go off the air. We said, look, we can't do this show with no money. And he called and he said, you have to keep this show on the air. This is, you know, a year ago. He said, this is exactly what we need right now in the country, and, you know, he loves the show. He says, this is going to be bigger than Democracy Now, and, you know, he's a very big fan of the show. And so he has single-handedly basically kept us alive.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so he's the base. So, you know, anybody that wants to spend money on Olive Films or even just send him a thank you note would be great, because he's been our most loyal supporter and just came out of nowhere.
Well,
and then we get probably – you know, in a good month, we get another $500 in donations from, like, you know, sort of, you know, random people around. So we our operating budget's probably $12,000-$13,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
and we probably spend 17 or 18. and we're all volunteers.
Right.
So
right.
This is not a George Soros operation.
Right. Well, you created this on your own. How does it feel to know that you might actually be doing something important?
Well, it feels great. It's like, yeah, it feels great to, you know, like anything where you feel like you're doing something worthwhile, you know, and especially, you know, you get to be my age where you've, you know, you get in your mid-40s where you've, you know, you've done a lot of stuff that you were kind of, you know, you did to make money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I worked for a lot of corporations. I actually worked for the New York Times Magazine Group at one point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, worked for a lot of different publishing companies. And now I can say, you know what, we get to decide what the decide what to report. We don't have anyone breathing down our neck saying, oh, you got to be careful not to piss off this advertiser.
Right.
You know, and we're pretty aggressive. We go pretty aggressively after corporations in a way that no mainstream media company really dares. You know, we put, you know, we just, on this month's show, we ran a trailer for an educational film that was very critical of Disney, for example. I mean, where have you ever seen on corporate television a show critical of Disney? It just isn't going to happen.
No.
You know, it's like, that them's fighting words.
No. Well, Matt, listen, thank you so much for taking time to talk to us at KillRadio.org. We're big supporters of what you do.
Great.
Everyone should look for Liberty News TV on Free Speech TV on satellite and, of course, on the website libertynewstv.com. And,
yep.
And all your downloads, all your past shows are archived. People
Correct.
Can download them for free. Spread them around. Do you have a newsletter or a mailing list, anything like that?
Nope, but if anybody wants to, you know, feel free to write us, and you know, we respond to all emails. We actually, you know, we don't have so many emails that we're swamped. So if you have a story idea or, you know, a thought or a comment about the show, feel free to email us.
Well, and if you ever take it on the road and do something here in LA, you definitely have to stop by and say hello. Okay.
Definitely will.
All right, Matt. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Okay. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.